You are now listening to Changing Lives, a podcast presented by Mount Gilead Full Gospel International Ministries, hosted by co-pastor Elena Robertson.
Welcome to Changing Lives. We are changing lives with the Word of God. I'm so glad you tuned in today. And today we're going to share about the subject of in the meantime. You know, we live in a fast-paced world where everything is just moving almost at the speed of light, it seems sometimes. And it's like a microwave type of concept that many of us have gained as we've gone along the way. Some of us can even say we're kind of like in a rat race because it seems like everything is on fast speed, you know? And that mentality, what it does, it spills over into our lives, and we're in this mode of just getting everything quick, fast, and in a hurry. And oftentimes in life, we can look at things and see that everything doesn't come as quickly as we would like it to come. And some things don't come as quickly as we need them to come. Okay. And, but nonetheless, we want to be in a position where we know how to deal with, the society that we're in, that we don't get too far ahead of God, and that we don't get too far behind, but that we're able to work that middle and allow God to have his way in our lives. So as I share with you today, doing this podcast, I pray that you open up your hearts. It's always a word that's introspective, where you have to look at yourself and see what adjustments and tweaking that you can make in your life so that you can come forward as pure gold and then be in that place of being perfected so God can get the glory in our lives. And so oftentimes if we're in that microwave mentality, if we're in that, I gotta get this has to happen right away, we often are thinking thoughts like, I must have it now, you know, or, you know, if you're not married, I got to get married now. My time is ticking away. You know, I don't have much time, you know, before we meet, I get out of that, you know, that season, you know, or I got to have a house now. You know, you may see somebody else that just got a new house and you feel like, okay, I'm a little left behind. I'm about the same age that they are. I'm kind of like in the same space that they are in their lives. I need to get a house. I need to get a house now. I need to get a car now, you know, or I need to have a child now, you know, and there's so many things that we can go down the litany of lists to say, I feel like I need to have it now. You know, there's times when, you know, our whole lives are actually in that mode of now, you know, years ago, you know, I think about things that are automatic and that make it convenient or easy for us to be able to maneuver around life. And I think about how, you know, we used to, you know, use the actual keys. Some people still use keys to start their cars, you know. And I can remember, you know, I'm thinking in my mind, okay, well, if I'm going to use a key to start a car, you know, just wherever you go, whether it's a door, whatever, you usually use your key. But when we got the automatic key pod, I don't know, just in my mind, I was thinking I could press that button and it would unlock the door too. Back then. Now, nowadays they have it where you can unlock, you know, automated doors and things like that to your house, all kinds of things. But it goes to show how we can get into a vein of now, easy, quick, fast, and in a hurry. And it will spill over into other areas of our lives and cause us to push forward to try to make things happen sooner than really they're ready to happen. You know, and so when we look at where we are in our lives, it's critical that we are able to assess if we're ready for certain things in our lives. Are you ready for marriage? You may want to get married now, but are you ready for marriage? You know, you may want to be responsible for a certain thing or position in leadership, but the truth is, are you ready for it? You know, have you taken the time to prepare? Do you have the commitment level that can match up to what is required of a leader? Do you have the ability to lead others, you know, as well as you being led yourself? You know, so these are things that sometimes we want something so bad, we don't care what it takes to get it, and we'll skip steps to even get to that point. And then when when we find that we got it, we're overwhelmed and we don't know what to do, right? And so, so being prepared is a major part of just progressing forward in our lives, you know? And oftentimes I look at it and I see how critical it is connected to the timing of God that He has in our lives. Our apostle ministered a message and he talked about timing and how he, you know, I quote him, God does not operate by time. He operates by timing. And that is so critical because really time was set in motion for us because God is not governed by time. He's a sovereign God and he can do whatever he wants to do whenever he wants to do it, right? But he puts us in time to give us a sense of order, to give us a way of pattern our lives so that we can, you know, progress forward and different things in our lives so that we can be able to, you know, track things and just to be able to govern our lives. So we're in time, but God's not in time. And that's something you can stick a pin in right there, right? Always remember that we are in time. Our lives are often governed by time, but God is not governed by time. So he can do what he wants to whenever he wants to. He can take however long he wants to. Not that it has to take him long to do anything he wants to do, but he can wait or he can hold off on releasing whatever he wants to do for however long he wants to do it. It's his timing, which is his perfect will, which is what his heart, his thoughts, his mind, his plans are wrapped up into God's timing. Okay. I don't know about you, but I want to be in God's timing. And, but oftentimes that's, you know, something when the rubber hits the road, when we really have to, surrender ourselves and position ourselves to be in God's timing, sometimes it can be a major challenge. It can be a hard thing for us in our flesh, in our minds, and in our intellect, and all of this, because everything that we've learned or know up to a given point is based on what we feel how it needs to play out. And so, and I think many of us can say there are things in our lives that we can attest to that we thought it needed to be done this way and at this time. And when it didn't come through when we thought it should, it still didn't mean that it wasn't going to happen. And we see later on down the road that it happened, but it happened in God's timing. And then when you look at it, you look at the chain of events, you look at how things happen and the effect that it had on your life and where you were in that season when it happened, that it was just right based on what God had planned for our lives. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that, you know, so that we can be operating and flowing in his perfect will. Another quote I get from Apostle Leroy Thompson is the supernatural does not function by time. The supernatural flows in divine timing, which we know is how God operates. God operates in the supernatural. That's his nature, supernatural, okay? And in the supernatural, he operates in timing and not by time. So it doesn't matter if you're thinking, okay, 9 o'clock, God needs to come through for me. And God is like, no, I'm not pressed because I know exactly what you need, when you need it, and when to come through for you. Praise God. We want to put our lives in his hand. Amen. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says this, and this is Solomon just really assessing all this thing dealing with time and God's timing, God's sovereignty. He said, to everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. And then he goes on to say, there's a time to be born. There's a time to die. There's a time to, you know, to plant and a time to build. And he goes down this litany of things that he addresses that everything, in so many words, has a time and a season. And so it is with our lives. In Genesis, the 8th chapter, the 22nd verse, it says, while the earth remains, okay, seed time and harvest, cold and winter, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. So while the earth is here, we're living, you know, if you're living, you're living in the earth. So the earth is still here, right? And so, you know, it's going to be seeds, it's going to be time, and it's going to be harvest. It's going to, cold weather is going to come. Hot weather is going to come. The winter is going to come. The summer is going to come. Day and night, this is how it's going to happen. This is how God has patterned life to happen on earth. It's going to continue like that. So everything has a season. Everything has a time for it to come to its full fruition, and then it goes through that cycle. And so when we look at seed time and harvest, there's a time to plant. There's always a time to plant seeds. You look at the natural sense of agricultural. You're planting in a garden. You can't plant all year round, you know, unless you do a artificial environment where it's conducive to you know, like a greenhouse or something where you're able to do something in an environment that's similar to the natural environment that it would have when you plant. You know, I don't know, during the spring, or some things are planted, you know, late summer. You know that will produce a harvest in the fall time. But in the natural, seeds are not planted all year round, depending on certain places and geographical locations and whether it's cold or hot, you know, winter or spring or summer or fall, okay? And so then it says seed, and then it says time, and that word seed time is put together. You got to look at that one. That's awesome, because that time is where you wait while the seeds are developing, okay? Because a seed, when it is planted, it never stays the same. But in that never staying the same, it is something that's happening. And guess what? It takes time. Okay. And then the third part of that is a time to reap. So when that seed actually produces that harvest, and I think all of us, you know, we love the harvest, you know, and we get excited and planting the seed, and looking for the harvest. But that part, that's the time piece, that time where we have to wait for that seed to develop, that can be a tough space to be in. And that's what I want to talk to you about today, more specifically, as we're focusing on the meantime. So in the meantime, from you planting that seed, and it could be a physical seed, it can be a financial seed, it can be a seed where you're planting seeds of love, seeds of nurturing, you know, it could be, you know, as a mother, you know, I can remember planting seeds into my children, meaning seeds of nurturing and empowering them and training them and teaching them. And I had to wait for those seeds to grow. Sometimes it seemed like I planted a seed, I'm not seeing any results from it, but it took time for those seeds of character and development and, you know, things like that to come to pass. And so, so in that meantime, what do we do? Okay. Let's talk about that. Oftentimes we start out to achieve a goal or something, you know, and we have that goal in mind. But we fall by the wayside when we find out that the middle or the meantime is not as easy as we thought. And that's called waiting while the seeds are developing part. Okay. Waiting while the seeds are developing. So, you know, that period between seed and time, it requires patience. It requires consistency. Okay. And diligence, in order to reap that successful harvest. I mean, who plants a seed and doesn't intend to, you know, look for the harvest? You have that expectations, right? But in that meantime, you don't just plant a seed and then you just, you know, so, I mean, some seeds, like maybe wildflowers or something like that, you may be able to leave it to chance if you plant the seed and, you know, you're hoping that it will rain, you know, enough or not too much, you know, to flood it out. Or, you know, you're hoping that the sun is the right amount of sunlight that you need, that it's not too many days without rain or else it'll be too dry. You know, you don't want to leave it to chance. And so when you're planting seeds spiritually, or you're planting seeds of character and, you know, seeds of love and seeds of service and all those types of seeds that you are investing in, you have to really steward that seed, which is taking the time between planting the seed and reaping the harvest. Okay. So it, like I said, it takes patience. That middle season, okay, of our lives can feel like the wilderness. And I want to just take a moment just to reflect on, you know, when you look in the Bible, there were different accounts of wilderness experiences. And I think the first account that we could probably relate to was when the children of Israel, they were brought out of the land of Egypt. That was the house of bondage. There was great deliverance that took place when God delivered them from Egypt. But there was a journey that they had to take. And then that journey, you know, there were seeds that were planted in their lives to help produce character in them and trust in God and, you know, perseverance and all of those different things. And so many of us are familiar with the story where they come from out of Egypt and then they begin to wander in the wilderness. And this was a physical wandering that they were doing. Why? Because the seeds that have been planted by their pastor Moses, you know, trying to plant in them to trust God, to depend on God to be their provider, to be their source, to be their security, to be their everything. They were really not grasping that, you know? And so their wilderness experience was extended. Something that was a 40-day journey became 40 years. Can you imagine that? But, you know, sometimes even in our own lives, we don't realize that we've taken years to get to where we are, but it could have taken a few days. Wow. That's something to ponder right there. Okay. And so, but those wilderness experiences can make you feel like God is not hearing you. God is not there. God doesn't care. But it's not so. I think of another wilderness experience that we see in the Bible, and that was the wilderness experience that Jesus had. He handled his wilderness experience in a totally different way. Now, this was a redemption plan, really, because, you know, we know that the Word of God tells us that God sent his only begotten son. He sent his only begotten son as that ultimate sacrifice. And in order to be that ultimate sacrifice, he had to be able to identify with all ways of life in earth, you know, all the challenges, all the temptations, all the types of feelings and emotions and, you know, all those things. He had to deal with that in the flesh. And so we see that Jesus comes on the scene, you know, and John the Baptist had been, you know, proclaiming, prepare the way of the Lord, prepare the way of the Lord. So he comes and the Spirit leads him into the wilderness after he is baptized. Now he's baptized, and when he's baptized, that seed of the Spirit of God is infiltrated in him to do the work of ministry. But guess what? The work of ministry didn't just happen like that. He had to go through a period of time of testing, of perseverance, of commitment, of consistency, of dedication, in order to be able to allow the Spirit of God to be released in this fullest form. So in his wilderness experience, we know he was tempted of the enemy on many accounts. And if we go back in Matthew chapter 4, I'm not going to go there now, but I encourage you to go back and read and study, you know, what Jesus did in his wilderness experience. We see in his experience how the enemy tempted him in so many different ways. He challenged his identity. He challenged his authority that God had given him. He challenged him and, you know, and how he governed his flesh or stewarded his flesh, even in his weakest moment. He challenged him, but Jesus, on every single account, he passed the test. What test was that? That test of trusting God, because God had already trained him. He came from heaven. So he was well-groomed in the truth. He was well-groomed in the Word because he was the Word made flesh, okay? And so the test he passed was he was the ultimate one that is the Word. And so it would behoove him that if he's the Word of God, for him to step forward and allow the Word of God to be his answer for every temptation that came across. That's powerful when you think about that, because I can think of a number of different times that I've been tempted. I could even think about this morning, times I'm tempted to be challenged in my flesh. And I can't always say that the Word came right on up. Sad to say, but it's true. And I think many of us can be honest. If we're honest with that, we can say that the Word has not always been what has come forth, right? But in Jesus' wilderness experience, he allowed the Word of God to put the enemy in check. He did not surrender his birthright. He did not release his identity. He did not leave way for his flesh to be appeased in his moment of challenge and greatest thirst and desire and need and want. You know, he resorted to the Word of God. And so these are things that happen when we go through what we can call our wilderness experience. There are times of testing. There are times of testing you to see, are you going to trust God, or are you going to make haste or lose heart or try to figure this thing out yourself or make things work out your own way? Are you going to wait on God? That's a good question, right? And so ultimately what we can say about Jesus was that he really honored God. He honored God in his wilderness experience by being obedient to what God had taught him in the Word, the truth coming forth. That honored God. When you allow the truth to come forward, when you allow, when God says that in our weakness, he will make us strong. And if we're going through this wilderness experience and we're feeling weak, and we allow God to really be strong in us, that honors God because it allows God to be who he's supposed to be in our lives. We allow God to do what he does and do what he does best, right? And that is to be the great and mighty God that we sing about oftentimes, the God that's greater than all other gods, right? And so we want to honor God and whatever experience. So, you know, and sometimes it may not necessarily be a wilderness experience. It's not necessarily that we're not hearing God. But what if God is telling us to wait? Not now, you know, because sometimes we're in that place where we can hear God. We've developed into a place of where we can sense God, you know, leading and guiding and directing us. We can hear his voice. Okay. But what really is the kicker here is when you hear his voice, can you be obedient to him when he tells you no? When he tells you wait? When he tells you hold up, not right now? When he tells you later? And the thing is this, you may not know when later is. And that's where we are, where we kick into that mode of waiting on the Lord. And, you know, when I look at another predicament that was in the Bible, I think about David. David was an awesome example of someone having to really wait, you know, because if you remember, David was anointed as king when he was 16 years old. Okay, so this was when he was already out in the field, a young boy tending to the sheep. You know, back then that was a dirty, nasty job, okay? Tending to the sheep. You're out in the field, you're amongst the nasty stuff, right? And so, but his brothers were big, brawly brothers, and they, you know, were prepared for greater things. So they were in the army, the Israelite army, and they were off, you know, to wherever, you know, doing, you know, quote unquote, big and grandiose things, you know? But when God came to the place where he wanted to anoint him for himself, and that's what the Word of God says, God anointed for himself. If you remember, the people wanted their own king, and they pushed God to and beg for God to give us a king, give us a king. And so God said, okay, you want a king? I'm going to give you a king. So he released his permissive will. He allowed it to happen, but it wasn't his perfect will. And it's an example to see, you know, Saul started out okay, but after a while, the wheels fell off. And he began to lose his mind, and he began to do things within his own intellect and his own strength. And we saw that God was not pleased with him. And so that's when God decided, I'm going to anoint for me myself, my own king. And while Saul was still king, God sent the prophet Samuel to anoint the king. God already knew that it was David, but Samuel had to connect and hear from God to recognize. And it was a lesson. It was an object lesson of how God picks out the people based on his sovereignty and then based on his will and his plan for the life, for our lives. And so we see, you know, with many of us, again, is familiar with the story, so I admonish you to read 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter, and see how God laid this thing out. That's where we find the scripture that talks about God doesn't look at the outward appearance, but he looks at the heart. But nonetheless, we see, okay, in the midst of that, he was the last of the last to be considered, you know, as someone that could be king material. But nonetheless, God used Saul to anoint him, Samuel, to anoint him as king. Okay. So now he's got this anointing on his life. Okay. When you get anointed to do the work of ministry. Okay. But wait a minute. When we look at when David was actually able to flow in his true and full fruition of his anointing, it wasn't until he was about in his 30s. That's double the time, you know, that, you know, he was about 15, 16. So 15, 16 years later, that's when he was able to really begin to flow in his anointing. Okay. And so when we look at, let's take just a moment to look at David, because he had to work the middle. You can best believe the enemy was dealing with his mind to make him think, okay, you're the king. You've been anointed king. And what are you doing? Who are you ruling over? Who are you reigning over? You know, you got this king Saul, you know, he's a madman. He's chasing after you for your life and, making all these crazy decisions. And you're supposed to be the one that's anointed. I can imagine different people, you know, questioning, okay, wait a minute. What was this that Samuel did? Did they say that you were the king? I don't see any results. So there was time and space over 15 years that David was running from Saul, that he was dealing with the challenge of his identity and the anointing that God had called him with. But when we look at this, there's so many things we can learn from David's life. We see that through it all, through those 15 years, he was a man after God's own heart, and that his heart was fixed and aligned to God's will for his life. In the midst of all that was going on, we'll see, you follow the Psalms, you see how he had some low moments. He had some wilderness moments, but he always looked to God. There was one time when he said, why is my soul so downcast? You know, and he had to build himself up in the Lord and say, but my hope and my trust is in God. He had to realign himself with God, right? And so we look to see that it was a fact that he did a job that no one else was willing to do. So he got anointed as king, but guess what he did? He went back to tending the sheep. In the meantime, right? Okay. It was the endless times he spent in the presence of God. That's where he began to learn how to be that worshiper. You know, he was a psalmist. He, you know, even King Saul and all his craziness requested him to come and play, you know, the harp for him to help soothe him of the evil spirits that were tormenting him. Okay. This is the man that he's having to serve, that's in the position that he's been anointed for. And now this crazy man is coming for me to play for him, to worship God for him. Can you imagine that? What a yielded vessel David was. When you look at his alignment and timing with God, he was waiting on God. It was endless times that he had to be in the presence of God to develop as that worshiper that he became, right? So, I mean, there were times when he was challenged even as a shepherd, you know, to protect the sheep. You know, the word talks about how he killed a lion and a bear. Okay, that's not a light thing for a human. For a human being to kill a lion and a bear with your bare hands or whatever menial type of device or tool or weapon that he had, you know. And so, but he could have just said, you know, I don't need to be out here tending to sleep. I'm anointed. I need to go on and just fulfill the call of God on my life. I don't have time to do this. But no, he stayed true to what God had called him to do in the meantime. Okay. And that's a testament for us that, you know, many of us have had prophecies spoken over our lives. There's some things that we may have even seen in visions and dreams. There's things that we know in our heart that God has for us. There are things that we desire that he planted in our hearts as a desire because his desire, you know, is he wants his desires to come to pass. So he planted it on the inside of us. But it's nothing happening. There's no results right now. It seems like it's a dead spot. It's dry. Okay. But in the meantime, what are you doing? Are you being faithful to where you are? Are you being faithful to the assignment that you're given until God says now is the time to make that shift? Now is the time, you know, for you to go through this open door that I opened for you, not a door you opened for yourself or somebody else opened for you, but the door that God opened for you. So it was what David did in the meantime, you know, from him being anointed as king to the place where he really was able to step in and be the actual king in the physical sense of ruling and reigning. That honored God. It honored God that whatever he did in that waiting, in that meantime, space and season, it brought glory to God. And it also not only brought glory to God, it really helped him to develop as a person, his character. It helped to fine-tune even more his trust in God. And so I want to encourage you as, you know, go back and reflect on the examples of Jesus and his wilderness experience. Go back and reflect on Daniel and his experience. And I think about even in my own life, you know, Bishop and our journey that we had, you know, with different assignments that seemed like it was wilderness assignments. You know, I can remember, you know, Bishop getting the call to go to Withville, Virginia. I had never heard of Withville, Virginia. And to this day, probably most people have not heard, but it's right at the very bottom of Virginia. And back then it was a little country place and it felt like it was another world. And we were sent there and we were just determined that, okay, we're being sent here and we're just going to be faithful to what God has given us. We weren't trying to go and get a big church and all that. We may have had certain things that we may have considered in our hearts, you know, people that we saw that were, you know, progressing and moving forward and different things based on, you know, our line of ministry. And so, there were times when we had to look and say, okay, you know, one day we'll get there, you know, but in the meantime, we had to really handle our wilderness experience and steward it well. There were people, because, you know, when you're dealing with our relationship with God, our life with God, it's all about our servanthood. So during that time and space, we had to learn to serve God's people. We had to learn to work that middle until we transitioned into what we had been thinking about or seeing in others and all of that, you know? And so we couldn't have our head and mind in the space of, oh, one day we're going to get there and that's all that we're working towards. No, we had to really deal with where we were in this little small town with one stop sign. It may be a little bigger now, but back then, over 20 years ago, one stop sign, you go through it, one lane, you know? And a lot of the people there were people that were much older. They were like, could have been our grandparents, but God gave us the opportunity to minister to these people, precious people of God. And God was watching our hearts. Was this just something that we were doing to take up space and time, or did we put our all and all into it? I can never forget the time that there was an older lady that was bedridden, house-ridden. She wasn't able to come out of her house. And we would go during midweek and do a Bible study with her. And sometimes we'd have a couple more of the members, other members from the other church to come. But it was so precious to be able to seed into her life. Where she couldn't come out and do the things that everybody else was doing, but we were able to come to her, and how God grew us and how God knitted our hearts to his desire and his love for people. It was us working the middle. It was us being true to the call that he placed on our life, that it wasn't about all these high accolades. It wasn't about getting a mega church. It wasn't about, you know, being recognized and people knowing who we are. It was all about pleasing God and having a heart for God's people like he has a heart for us. And so I want you to reflect on the wilderness experience of Jesus and that meantime, working the middle that David did, and see how does that relate to you where you are. There may be some things, yeah, you may be full throttle and God's like, yeah, do it all day long. But there's some things in our lives that God will purposely tell us no, or hold up, or not now. Because there's certain things that he's working on the inside of us. What could it be? It could be character. It could be maturity. It could be developing a love for his people, developing servanthood. It could be developing integrity. It could be learning how to trust him. So many things that we can develop in the meantime, in that period of working the middle. And so I encourage you, if you're in that state of working the middle, this message is just for you. And I guarantee you, if you're not, there's going to be a time when you're going to be in that place, because we're always abounding, but we just don't go from level to level without a testing, without a purifying and approving that we qualify to go to that next level. And in that process, in that time that's in between that seed that's planted and that harvest that we gather, there is time that we have to take to allow God to have his perfect work in us. I know this podcast has been a blessing to you. Look, I got more that I want to share with you, so stay tuned for the next podcast, because I know it's going to bless you.
This has been another episode of Changing Lives. Be sure to subscribe to stay updated on new episodes. Also, find us on the web at mountgileadfgim.org and follow us on Instagram at mountgileadfgim.